Hello and welcome to Centrepoint's first podcast. Here we'll be speaking to individuals about their personal journeys to health and happiness in the hope that something that's helped them might just help you. Because let's face it, life can be really difficult sometimes and we need all the help we can get. Welcome to Centred. I'm Layla and I'm one of the mental health advisors for Centrepoint.
Each episode will focus on a different topic related to mental health, and we will be speaking to either a specialist in the field, someone with personal experience, or both.
This week we're thinking about our self-esteem, something that has helped me when I've not felt very good about myself is recognizing that I have a voice in my head that is quite self-critical and can at times be quite self-loathing. What's really been great is to actually name this voice. I call her Brenda, and then I can recognize that when I get into that space in my head, it's just Brenda going off on one, and I don't have to listen to Brenda because Brenda's having a bad day. And that really helps me separate the thoughts that I might have, the negative thoughts that I might have about myself and me as an actual person, so I don't have to believe all the nasty things that Brenda is saying. This week we're speaking to Liam from Ditch the Label about his journey with self-esteem and what has worked for him.
Quick disclaimer, no offence to anyone called Brenda.
Okay, so I'm here with Liam Hackett from Ditch the Label. Hi Liam.
Hello.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm tired, but I'm good.
You're tired, but you're good. That's the mantra at the moment, isn't it?
Story of my life at the moment.
Story of your life. You're obviously here because you started Ditch the Label, which is an amazing charity that you really focus on, you know, mental health of young people, but also bullying and kind of issues of identity. And I know that kind of the idea for that really started from a really personal place, like most things do. You experienced quite extreme bullying, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I was bullied for 10 years throughout school. I went through a really tough time. And, you know, we kind of hear stories of people being bullied by one or two people. But for me, I really was kind of a bit of a scapegoat at my school. Mm. And I grew up really lonely. I had incredibly low self-esteem. I really didn't feel like I had much of a support network around me. And when I was kind of early teens, social media first started to become a thing, and so back then it was MySpace, and I just remember I started talking about my experiences of being bullied on MySpace and just really built a community for myself. And realized that, you know, A, this was a big issue that was affecting a lot of people, but yeah. B, that the internet could be a really great way of connecting those people together to share advice and support. And so when I was kind of 15, you know, with that in recognition, I started Ditch the Label. It was just a MySpace profile to start with. And it really helped me because all of a sudden I had this community of people who just got it and, you know, had walked the same walk as me or were going through similar things. And I just all of a sudden didn't feel so alone in the world.
Yeah, obviously there are things you can do to make yourself, your self-esteem grow and your self-confidence grow, and that's sort of what we wanted to focus on today.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting actually with confidence and self-esteem, because I think quite a lot of people think, okay, once you've become confident, then it's kind of a fixed state and you're kind of always there. But I always kind of say it's like a garden, you constantly have to maintain it. You know, kind of at the beginning, it might take a lot of time, a lot of effort in order to get your garden to grow, but you do need to check in on it quite regularly. And it is a constant journey.
And, you know, I think sometimes we look at people who seem super confident, exactly like you said, or like they've got low self-esteem. Oh, no, sorry, high self-esteem. And we feel like they've never had the feelings that we might have had, where we don't feel very good about ourselves.
Absolutely. I mean, unfortunately, we do live in a society that tries to make us feel bad about ourselves and about how we look. And, you know, if you kind of take the beauty industry, for example, quite a lot of that is all designed to make us feel bad about our bodies so that we buy products. I mean, not all of it, but some of it. you kind of look at the role that social media has in all of our lives, it's almost impossible to not benchmark your life, how you look, the things that you have against the people that you follow online.
Yeah.
And all of these messages are coming from so many different parts of the world around us. And so every single person walking this planet has issues with some sort of self-esteem or confidence or whatever it is. And it's not something that, you know, unfortunately, any of us are immune from.
Yeah. Of course, there are so many factors involved, and it's sort of, you kind of have to almost really watch the things that you allow yourself to consume. But then again, the onus is on you, and that can be quite difficult sometimes. I know if I've had a bad day, I'm not always the best at doing what is best for me, even though I know what that is. And that might be a bit of a unhealthy scroll or something like that, which doesn't always make you feel better. But you, I guess being aware of that is just really important. You can indulge in it sometimes, but just be aware that that is what's going on.
It's a strange juxtaposition, really, because when we do feel low, we are more likely to use social media a lot more.
Yeah.
And we will escape, and we'll kind of, like, I don't know about you, but I have had days where I'm sat scrolling endlessly for hours. And unfortunately, research does suggest that it makes us feel even worse about ourselves. Yeah. And actually, there is a lot of benefit in, you know, firstly being aware of that, but then actually making the decision to kind of have a screenless day.
Yeah.
And seeing the benefit that that can bring.
Yeah, I definitely try and do that. Me and my friends call it the sort of the Instagram hole, when you can suddenly, you almost come to and you're like, I've been on my phone for ages, and then you're on this page and you don't even know how you got there. It's almost like you've blacked out, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really interesting as well, because, you know, as consumers, we're all kind of consuming social media a lot. Mm. But also what we're seeing during lockdown is there's also pressure to create content. And a lot of creators are just feeling the real burnout, because I think everybody is struggling with their mental health. And, you know, if you do have an audience online, or you're trying to build an audience, there's a huge amount of pressure. Yeah. And the algorithms are not very forgiving, really. They're kind of saying you have to be posting constantly, you have to be creating rich content. And so the pressure isn't just on the consumption, it's also on the creation of content as well. And I think it can have a real impact on people's mental well-being.
Yeah. There's the power of the internet, like you were saying. We obviously, we were just talking about how negative it can be at points, but this is a really great example of, there are loads of positives. You found a whole community, a whole tribe this way. So that's incredible.
It's amazing. You know, the power of community is just unrivaled. And, you know, it's just kind of unfathomable. If you kind of went back 30 or 40 years to think that somebody could be growing up in the local town, and they could be the only person with a disability, or the only person who is LGBTQ plus, or whatever it is. But now you can, in a matter of seconds, be connected to thousands of people like you. It's just amazing. And I think, you know, kind of what we're seeing more and more of now is, like, young people driving real change in their communities and becoming hugely influential. And people now have a voice and a tool to actually generate change. You know, kind of, I feel like Ditch the Label was part of the first wave of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of long story short, this idea developed when I was 15. I eventually moved away to Brighton to study in Sussex, graduated in 2012, and kind of always felt like something like Ditch the Label was really needed, and decided to just launch it as an actual charity. And, you know, kind of the rest is history, really. It's just grown and grown and grown.
Amazing. So when you think about the things that really helped you with your self-esteem...
Just learning that the reason I was bullied was not because of me. It wasn't because of the things that people preyed on. It was actually because they had their own issues and they were projecting that onto me. And that was one of the most valuable things I ever learned, because now all of a sudden it meant I didn't have to try and change myself, and actually I was fine as I was. It was the people who were bullying me, who were hurting, who were going through difficult things, and they just weren't dealing with it. And I think also as well, you know, kind of as I grew older, I developed a natural curiosity about myself and an open-mindedness, which I think is really important. I think, you know, I have a handful of friends in my life who will always tell me what I don't want to hear. And it's really difficult. At first, yeah. It really does get your back up, but I have to say it is vital. It is so important, because if we're to grow and develop and build resilience, we have to hear things we don't want to hear sometimes.
Yeah. So what would you say then is the best way to deal with negative feelings about yourself?
When you have inner belief systems about yourself, communicating them with your support network is actually really empowering, and it can actually kind of water some of those feelings down just by saying it out loud. And I think that's a really important thing to do. I think also, you know, over the years I have developed an ability where I might feel something about myself and I will challenge it. And I'll kind of think, okay, what's making me feel like this?
Yeah.
Where does that actually come from? Is there a deeper rooted insecurity that I have that's triggering how I feel right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I have kind of certain things that I'll do to kind of help myself. And, you know, I'm a massive believer of kind of, if something scares you, then you have to do it. You know, I'm a huge believer in that, and kind of repositioning that fear as excitement. So I don't know, if you have a fear of rejection, for example, you have to put yourself in situations where you're going to experience rejection, because otherwise it wins.
Yeah.
It has to challenge you.
Mm.
And what's interesting is, you know, kind of as we grow up, we develop these belief systems about ourselves, which are actually not really based on anything external to us. It's based on how other people treat us, the things people say about us. And we kind of grow into adulthood with a value and belief system that actually isn't correct.
Yeah.
And I think recognizing that and not allowing other people what they think of you to define your self-worth is really, really important. And it's a as I said earlier, it's a constant journey.
Yeah.
It's a lot of kind of meditation. It's a lot of like really being open with yourself. And it is something that you have to explore.
It's just funny, as you were saying that, I remember I did some CBT therapy when I was a teenager. And one of my biggest fears was going out without any makeup on. Because at the time, like you said, all these like standards that you have about yourself, and you kind of, it, you know, that the thought terrified me. I know it's something small, but you know, when you're a teenager, it's big. And my CBT therapist suggested that I just go out, or start just not wearing makeup. And for me, that was huge. But I did actually do it. And then, like you said, realised that whatever I was scared of, you know, it wasn't this huge thing that I thought it was going to be. And then actually just going through with it rather than obsessing about how terrible it would be was part of working through it, just as a small example.
Yeah, and it's all baby steps as well. So, you know, in your case, I'm guessing you maybe started by kind of going to the corner shop without makeup on, and then gradually built it up over time, and you disempower that fear.
Yeah.
And we all have all these fears. We all have fears and things that we try and avoid. And I just, you know, kind of recently, I've really been thinking about my own mortality, like not in a morbid way, but I'm like, we're all literally going to die. I think there's a lot of power in accepting that none of us are perfect, and that we all at some point need support. It's actually quite empowering to be vulnerable in that way. And I think, you know, kind of the whole faking it till you make it ideology in me kind of started when I was young. I was walking around with my head to the floor. I wouldn't look at anybody. I wouldn't talk to anybody. And it was actually my grandma who was like, Liam, you literally have to fake this until you make it, and just pretend that you are confident.
Yeah.
And it sounds strange, but it actually really worked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can program yourself to believe that you are confident. And I think there's a lot of value in that. But in doing that, you're not denying the fact that you're coming from a place of vulnerability, and that this is a really hard thing to do. And, you know, for any listeners who perhaps might find certain things uncomfortable, maybe they find it uncomfortable to have eye contact with people or start a conversation, my advice is to start very small. Just challenge yourself.
Yeah. Like you said, the baby steps are really important. You've created this platform, and it's really for young people. A lot of our kind of young people don't necessarily have parents or family who are supportive or who they can go to. What would your advice just be to kind of those young people who don't necessarily have an immediate support network?
Well, I mean, firstly, I would say that I know exactly how it feels. You know, I had a really supportive family, but I didn't really have many friends growing up. And so my whole mission around Digital Labour was to create a community where people do have support. And so we do have a Digital Labour support community. Mm-hmm. So young people can anonymously confidentially sign up to our community, and they can talk to our fully trained mentors, they can talk to other people, and it is a really fantastic platform.
And he's right, it is a really amazing platform. Check them out at ditchthelabel.org. This week we invite you to think of your self-esteem as a rechargeable battery that you can charge with positive thoughts about yourself. Each day, think of 10 positive things about yourself or your life and spend some time thinking about this. This will recharge your brain in a positive way.